'Tis but thy name that is my enemy. Thou art thyself, though not a Montague. What's Montague? It is nor hand, nor foot, nor arm, nor face, nor any other part belonging to a man. Oh, be some other name. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes without that title. Romeo, doff thy name, and for that name which is no part of thee, take all myself. The immortal words of the ill-fated Juliet of the House of Capulet, from Act 2, Scene 2 of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Oh, if only they were true. The sheer body count alone, as the bodies piled up, would refute that idea that Romeo's name is no part of thee. But as the great LeVar Burton used to say on one of my favorite shows growing up, reading Rainbow, don't take my word for it. Jelena Georgievich and colleagues at McGill University and the Montreal Neurological Institute ran an aptly named study in 2008 titled, A Rose by Any Other Name, Would It Smell as Sweet? The study examined whether presenting an odor with a positive, neutral, or negative name would influence how people perceived it. They took 15 odors ranging from unpleasant to neutral to pleasant, and then presented them to subjects with names that were positive, such as summer's rain, neutral, number two, and negative, moldy vegetables. Regardless of the odor, it was rated more pleasant when presented with a positive name and less pleasant when presented with a negative name. Now, the scientists didn't leave this to the test subjects' words alone. They measured skin conductance and heart rate, and this showed arousal when the odor was presented with a positive name. On top of that, sniff volumes went up. Thus, a positive name left them sniffing for more. Case in point, names matter. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. Its celebration is the halfway point to Christmas. I'm sure that's exactly what you wanted to hear this morning. It's one of three births celebrated by the Church Universal. The others, of course, being Jesus and that of his mother, Mary. All the other saints and martyrs are celebrated on the day of their death, or Dies Natalis, or their birth into heaven. But no, St. John, who, as the Gospel tells us, is greater than all born of woman, has his feast day celebrated around his nativity, and specifically around the naming that came 8 days after his birth, the day of his circumcision. This circumcision and naming is a scene of great awe and wonder that relies heavily on what has transpired in the beginning of St. Luke's Gospel, that of the angel Gabriel's appearing to Zechariah. In this encounter between the divine and the priest, the angel Gabriel promised to Zechariah that he and his wife Elizabeth are to be parents to a son, and that they are to name him John. And this son of theirs is going to be a very special one. He is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit even while in the womb. He's going to set the stage for the coming of the Lord. He will be like Elijah and will be a great man of God. being a priest, you might assume that Zechariah's response to this divine message might be one of acceptance, or perhaps even celebration. But as Abraham and Sarah before him, he rebuked the messenger and the idea of having a child at such an advanced age. For this, Gabriel zapped him, binding his tongue until the day of John's circumcision and naming. It is at the circumcision of St. John the Baptist that we're reminded of the power of names. We're reminded simply that names matter. As it was customary to name the child after the father or a name from the family tribe, the group assembled at the circumcision just assumed that the child would be given the name Zechariah. But Elizabeth, having been told either in a vision or by her cousin Mary, or simply moved by the Holy Spirit, cries out that the child's name will be John. This, of course, can't be. So in deference to Zechariah, they inquire with him, and he scribbles on a tablet that indeed, his name is John. Immediately after doing so, his tongue is untied, and this brings both amazement and fear among their neighbors. This John, whose name means Yahweh is gracious, will be called the prophet of the Most High. He will prepare the way of the Lord, will give knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of sins. He will be the forerunner, the herald of the dawn that breaks from on high. St. John would be the lamp that burned and gave light to point to and then give way so that the greater light, that is Christ, might increase. St. John the Baptist would surely live into his name, witnessing to the people of Israelite and through the Spirit to all the world that God is indeed gracious. And by God's tender mercy, the Son of God would come and redeem all that had fallen away. That Jesus, whose very name means to rescue or deliver, would indeed fulfill that mantle, would live into that name for the redemption of all creation. Names in the Holy Scripture matter a great deal. From the very moment that Moses tried to get a handle on God's name, to Abram and Sarai becoming Abraham and Sarah, down to Jacob becoming Israel after wrestling, down to Peter, Cephas, the rock. My brothers and sisters, names have power, and names surely matter. Elizabeth's family and friends were consumed with curiosity and full of opinions on that day of her son's naming. All their assumptions and expectations went out the window in that mysterious and divine moment when Zechariah etched the words, "His name is John." Words with much power behind them, etched them on a tablet, and then saw his tongue unbound and moved and lifted up by the Spirit to praise the Most High. It is a day of great amazement, perhaps even a miracle, when through water and the Word, at this font and so many others, in the company of the Holy Spirit, that a child of God is named. And because names have power, and because names matter, the infant or adult being washed with the water and the Word are given a name with many meanings. Child of God, child of the covenant, and most importantly, the title mine forever. My siblings in Christ, our names matter much. And because of this, we're called to live into the fullness of our God-given titles and to respond to our baptismal covenant, a covenant which calls for us to live among God's faithful people, to hear the Word of God, to share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and through deed, serve all people, following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. When we do as Zechariah did, responding to what God has deemed to be true and promised, we are reminded of our forgiven status, our being unbound from all that would leave us mute, and given voice to praise God and to share the good news of salvation, the good news of Christ's victory over death, and proclaim the way of peace that God has chosen for the world. Amen.